there in the end. Well, good morning and welcome to you all. It's nice to see right up to the back being filled in and on the balcony. So welcome to our service this morning. It's Father's Day, so if anybody goes, you've forgotten, it's Father's Day today, and we are celebrating our fellas, and they are very welcome to be here with us in the service. So we will celebrate them a little bit more later on. But before we do that, let's come to our Heavenly Father. Lord, we do thank you for this beautiful morning. And Lord, we pray that you would bless us as we worship you, and that we would raise up holy hands and bring our hearts to you this morning. And Lord God, we pray that you would be in this place, that those who need healing and love would find it in you. And Lord, that they would find it in us too, that we would be a fellowship that welcomes people. Lord, we pray that everyone would feel welcome here this morning. And Lord God, we ask for your blessing to come in this place as we look towards communion. And Lord, we thank you. We thank you for the cross. That salvation that no one can take away. Lord God, we thank you for saving us. And we come before you now to honor you and give you our worship. Amen. And Nathan's going back to Nehemiah. But I had a little verse that I would like to read. And it's from the New Testament in Philippians. So I... might be familiar to some. It's just a little bit from Philippians 1, and it's a real blessing from Paul. They were recognized for their love for one another, and he gives this blessing to them. Starting from verse 3, he says, "I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. For whether I'm in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God." So if we're feeling a bit weak and waffly or anything goes wrong, we are filled with the grace of God, and he will carry it through to completion so we can continue to praise him. Let's stand if you're able and join me, and we're going to bless the Lord. Blessed be your name. could we not sing today? And our God is a good, good Father, and he shows all fathers everywhere how to be. I've heard 1,000 stories. Praise your holy name, that all men should see you and all men should follow your example. Father, be with us, we pray. Amen. Please do take your seats for a moment. If you've got a cold drink, then have some of it. And if you haven't got a cold drink, please do feel right at home and go through to the kitchen and get a cold drink. Don't feel poorly or anything. If you feel that you need a drink, don't hesitate to get one. It would be sad if you felt unwell and then didn't feel able to be at home and go and get yourself a drink. There's no problem there. Now, we have got one special thing going on today, obviously, but are there any birthdays among the children? Lots of people are waving, but I think it's because they're fanning themselves.
We have one in the head start.
Hello. How many is it, Esther? I know you don't want to come down. How many? Wow. Oh, okay. I can remember. Makes me feel old. However, I do need some help from the children because we have got some gifts for all the fellas. We just sort of don't treat fathers and non-fathers any difference today. We are celebrating our fellas. So if I could have some children to come down and help me, that would be really useful. And that, without breaking your neck on the stairs, the quicker you can get here. That's it. Thank you. Perfect.
You stay there with me.
So if you want to start, maybe if you two could take those boxes back upstairs, would that be a good thing to do? And then if you guys could make sure that everybody gets one of them, that's a good thing. Yes, don't give them all to one person. Let's make sure Marky Mark gets one, shall we? Oh, you weren't looking. That's all right. Hey, anyone want to get missed out? That's it, all the fellas. That's it. I shouldn't have given them all away. That's it. Are they going upstairs? Make sure they go upstairs. That's it, Nuno's in just in time. That's it, make sure everybody, all the fellas get one, pass them along. You can trust them to pass them along the back row, that'll be fine. It's tricky getting up there. Is there anyone, any of the fellas that haven't had one? Oh, is that, JJ's at the back, he's not had one. That's it. Make sure you do the sound desk. Everyone okay? That's it. Maybe I should put the box back. There we go. So you just, any spare ones. Has everybody got? Right to the back. Are they coming up the back there? Yes. Yeah. Okay. Okay, while the last few are going out on the balcony there, it simply says, thank you for being awesome. You are appreciated more than you know. Thank you for all that you do. So thank you for being here this morning, and thank you for all that you do. Guys, while you're down here, let's pray for our dads, shall we? So we'll pray for the dads who are present. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for our fellas. Lord, we celebrate them today. And Lord, whatever stage of their life they're at, whether they're fathers, not fathers, grandpas, not grandpas, Lord, we pray that you would pour a blessing on them this morning. Lord, we appreciate them for who they are. Father, we don't have to put anyone down to big up anyone else. Lord, we are praising them and being respectful and loving towards them this morning. Lord, we don't have to put anyone down to do that. They are great in your sight, and you have saved them. So, Father, thank you. Thank you for this morning. Thank you for your blessing. And thank you that, above all, you are the greatest example of a father that could be. Amen. Thank you so much. If you could go back to where you were sitting now safely, don't go too quickly. I think they were hoping. There's some spares. I can't believe I didn't do anything last week at ABC, so I am going to take some of those things for the dads and the grandpas at ABC in the morning, so that would be good. We are going to transition into communion, and we are going to declare exactly what we're doing. We're going to stand, if you're able, and sing, "I Believe in Jesus," as we come to communion in our service.
Amen. Well, good morning. Very good to see you all this morning. Good to see so many of you here this morning. And I see the fans going. It's a warm day. But this is the day that the Lord has made. And we're here to rejoice, to be glad in this day that God has made. And what a special, special occasion. Every time we have an opportunity as a church family to draw close to this table. This table that means so much. It's the bedrock. It's the foundation of the church and the foundation of our faith. So if you can join in with that song that we just sung together, and if that's your personal testimony, that you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that you believe that he died on the cross for your sins, then this is a wonderful, wonderful reminder that God has done so much for us by sending his Son into this world. Amen? Amen. And I want to just read a few verses from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I was reading this morning and it blessed me. And this will just also serve as a sort of a precursor for the message today. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 17. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. He gave us the ministry of reconciliation, which lets us know, church, that if you believe in Christ for yourself and you believe he's the Son of God and you believe that he died on the cross and he rose again on the third day, then that means that every believer is a minister of Christ. Ah, you're not excited about that. Every believer is a minister of Christ. What does that mean? It means that you and I are servants of Christ Jesus. And the message, Paul says, is simply, we are ministers of reconciliation, which means that we are called to be a witness for Christ, to share with the world, to share with the community, be reconciled to God. Get to know Jesus for yourself. Just as he saved us, he can save you too. So I want to encourage each of you as we partake of this meal today. You are a minister. God has not called us just to sit back and warm the benches, but he's called us to be ministers of reconciliation. Amen? Amen. Our deacons are coming now. We're going to prepare to serve. And we're going to pray God's blessing over the bread and the wine. Amen. Who's leading us in our prayer today? Graham, bless. Go for it.
We do not presume to come to this your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your abundant and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you are the same Lord, whose character is always to have mercy. Grant us, therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, and that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen.
Amen. The Apostle Paul, in his letter to the church at Corinth, he records these words in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. For I have received of the Lord that which I also now deliver unto you, the church, that the very same night that our Lord Jesus Christ was betrayed, gathered around the table with his disciples, he took bread. And after giving thanks, he said to them, take and eat, for this is my body, which is broken and given for each of you. This do ye in remembrance of me. Amen. Church, as you are now served with what represents the body of Jesus Christ, please do eat as you receive it and be thankful in your hearts. Amen. I'm going upstairs. Who's going upstairs? Okay. Thank you. Before we move on, if you have not been served by any chance and you would like to partake, please do raise your hand and one of the deacons will come and serve you now. Everyone been served? Amen. Amen. Well, in like manner, he then took the cup and he said these words, "This cup is the new covenant that will now be sealed in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink of it, do it in remembrance of me. For as often as we eat from the bread and we drink from this cup, we do show forth and proclaim the Lord's death until that great, great promise that one day the Lord Jesus will make his return." Are you excited about his return? Amen. He will make his return. As you are now served what represents the blood of Jesus that was shed for us on the cross of Calvary for our sins, please do retain your cups, church, until we've all been served, and then we'll drink together as a sign of our unity that is through the blood of Jesus. Amen? Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Graham. Thank you, Richard. Blood of the Lord Jesus given for you. Have you ever pondered in your heart where you would be without Jesus? What would our lives look like without Jesus? Yeah, it's a sobering thought, isn't it? Where would we be without him? We thank God, as we just read in 2 Corinthians 5, that we have been reconciled through his sacrifice. That means that whatever happened in our lives before we came to Christ, all of our sins, all of those issues, through the obedience of Christ who went to the cross on our behalf, we can say that we are a new creation. The old things, they are passed away. And we can say, behold, all things have become new. Let's drink together the blood of Jesus, the forgiveness of our sins. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. The Bible says that after they had partaken of the meal, they went out to the Mount of Olives, and there they sang a hymn. And there's a hymn on my heart. We're just going to sing a few lines before we move on. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, you must all I have needed, thine hands have provided. Great.
Great is thy faithfulness, Lord unto me.
Just one more time. Great. Great is thy faithfulness. Great.
Great.
I have needed.
Thank you, Jesus.
Great
is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
Father, we thank you so much again for all that this meal represents and means to us. We thank you that the foundation of our faith is sealed through the sacrifice, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we pray, Lord, that we would be reminded, not just now, but each and every day, to turn our eyes upon Jesus, to not look to the left or to the right, or to be weighed down with the issues of life and the problems all around us, but help us to keep our eyes fixed on the Lord Jesus. We thank you that you are the author and the finisher of our faith. And as we read this morning, you are going to complete the job. You are going to complete the work within us. That which we have started, it will not perish. But Lord, you will see it through to the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you for each and every one here this morning. May we continue to cling to the solid rock, the Lord Jesus Christ, the foundation of our faith, as we continue to lift him higher and higher so that the world will see Jesus and his glory. So we give you thanks now, and we thank you for the sacrifice of your Son. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Bev.
But it is now time for them to go through to their groups. If you're here for the first time, there will be a group for your children if you have any with you. So do follow the crowd. Whilst they do that, let us stand and praise the beautiful one. Wonderful, so wonderful is your unfailing love.
Lift up the beautiful one. My soul must sing. Well, good morning again to you all, church. It's good to see you all, and want to jump right into the word of the Lord this morning. Our time is slipping away, but we need to hear from God's word, don't we? Nehemiah chapter 5, we're heading back into our series, which is entitled, We've Got Work to Do. We've Got Work to Do, and we're heading now to the conclusion of our series. We just have two more sermons in this series, and going to be drawing your attention to Nehemiah chapter 5 today. And the subject that I'm going to be preaching from today is simply, I want to get involved, but you fill in the blanks. I want to get involved in the project. I want to get involved in the church. I want to get involved in serving and being a minister for Christ. I want to get involved in ministry, but, and our various blanks may be different, but sometimes there can be some reasons why it's difficult to get involved. So we're going to look a little bit about that this morning. So Nehemiah chapter 5, verse 1 to 13. I'm reading from the Message today, and it reads like this. A great protest was mounted by the people, including the wives, against their fellow Jews. And some said, we have big families, and we need food just to survive. Now, these were the same people that Nehemiah had inspired their hearts to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. He's put them out to work, and they've been busy doing the work. But they approach Nehemiah here in chapter 5, and they say, listen, Nehemiah, you know, we've been busy working. We've been doing the work, but we need to have a chat. We need to have a little talk, because I'm not going to lie, Nehemiah, there's some challenges in our lives. You know, there's some things going on in our own personal lives, and I know you want us to keep working to rebuilding the walls, but we need to have a little conversation about some of the challenges that we are going through in our own personal lives. So they say, listen, we've got big families here. We need food just to survive. There was a famine in the land. There was poverty all over the place. And verse 3 says, others said, we're having to mortgage our fields and vineyards and homes to get enough grain to keep us from starving. While others said, we're having to borrow money to pay the royal tax on our fields and vineyards. Look, we're the same flesh and blood as our brothers here. In other words, what they're saying is the people who were subjecting them to these harsh debts were their own fellow countrymen and women, their own Jews. So these are our people. And they're subjecting us to these harsh, harsh debts. He says, we're having to sell our children off as slaves. Some of our daughters have already been sold. And we can't even do anything about it because our fields and vineyards are owned by somebody else. They've taken our property. We've had to mortgage them to others just to survive. In verse 6, Nehemiah responds. He says, I got really angry when I heard their protest and complaints. And after thinking it over, I called the nobles and the officials on the carpet. And I said, each one of you is gouging his brother. And I called a big meeting to deal with them. I told them we did everything we could to buy back our Jewish brothers who had to sell themselves as slaves to foreigners. And now you are selling those same brothers back into debt slavery. Does that mean that we have to buy them back again? What he's saying here, church, is that the people of Israel had just come out of slavery. And he's saying that you are subjecting your own people with the same harsh, cruel punishment and treatment as those Persians. Why are you treating your own people in the same way? And then in verse 9, Nehemiah says, what you are doing is wrong. Is there no fear of God left in you? Don't you care what the nations around here, our enemies, think of you? I and my brothers and the people working for me have also loaned the money, but this gouging them with interest has to stop. Give them back their foreclosed fields, vineyards, olive groves, and homes right now, and forgive your claims on their money, grain, new wine, and olive oil. And they said, we'll give it all back. We won't make any more demands on them. We'll do everything that you say. And then finally, then I called the priests together and made them promise to keep their word. Then I emptied my pockets, turning them inside out, and said, so may God empty the pockets and house of everyone who doesn't keep this promise. And turned inside out and emptied. And everyone gave a wholehearted, yes, we'll do it. And praise God. And the people did what they promised. Just shortly, I want to get involved, but. Friends, this past Thursday, I was blessed to attend the annual Spurgeon's College Conference that happens each year. And during one of the sessions at the conference, one of the former regional ministers of our region, Stuart, he shared with us a story of what could only be described as the ultimate dad joke. The ultimate dad joke. Come on, dads in the house, you know what I'm talking about. Those dad jokes that the only one laughing at the joke is yourself. It's a, it's a sad reality when the only one laughing at your joke is yourself. Or maybe their people are laughing, but they're not laughing with you. They're laughing at you. So our former regional minister, he shared that kind of a joke with us. And he shared that how when he was a regional minister, one of the ministers within his region attended an interview at a local church to become their pastor. And those that were conducting the interview, the panel, they shared with the prospective minister and they outlined all of the requirements and everything that they were looking for in their new minister. It was a comprehensive list, church. Everything they expected of the minister. We expect you to do this. We expect you to do that. We expect you to visit the sick. We expect you to preach every Sunday. We expect you to teach Bible study. We expect you to get on with the youth work. We want you to do this, 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 and that. And when they came to the conclusion, church, of listing out their requirements, they turned to the prospective minister and said, "Do you have a question for us?" And the minister said, "Well, yes, yeah, sure, I have a question, just one question that I want to ask you." And now this is what the minister had to say, not me. He said, "How many G's are there in bugger off?" How many G's are there in bugger off? Now, of course, the response from the prospective minister was rather flippant. But in a real sense, as I listened to what Stuart had to say, it was at that moment that a light bulb switch flicked on in my mind. I said, this really links in with what I'm about to share on Sunday. Because sometimes we have a lopsided view of how the church should operate, how ministry should function in the church. Because in a real sense, biblically, ministry was never intended to be done and carried out by one individual. Biblically speaking, Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 to 13, he said, "And it was he, Jesus, who gave some to be apostles, to be prophets, to be evangelists, to be pastors and teachers," here it is, "to equip the saints for the work of ministry, and to build up the body of Christ." Were there saints? This old-fashioned word, but it simply means for those who are born again, those who believe in Jesus Christ. Paul says that the purpose and the function of the pastor-teacher is to equip the congregation for the work of ministry. That's why I said, as we were serving communion, God has called us not to warm the benches. When I used to play football, the worst thing that any player wanted to do was sit on the bench. It was boring. I have to confess, I never spent much time on the bench because I was quite a good player, to be honest. Not to beat my own drum. But I always used to think of some of those guys that, you know, every game they were on the bench. And they would show up. They would do the warm-up before the game just to sit on the bench. And they may get a little 5-10 minutes here or there, but most of the time they're sitting on the bench. And I want to encourage the church today that in order for the church to function, in order for us to continue to be relevant and to impact our local community and the world at large with the gospel of Jesus Christ. In order for us to make a difference for Jesus Christ, then we need a church, not just of one person or two or three or four individuals who are committed to the cause, but we need the whole church to be on fire for Jesus Christ and to be ministers of reconciliation. Ministry is not just restricted to those who are called to be full-time ministers. Ministry is not just restricted to the youth pastor or to the church office manager. But ministry is for everyone. Everyone that has a personal testimony of Jesus for themselves has a ministry to offer in this world. And I want to lovingly encourage the church today. It's time to get to work. I want to encourage each and every one of you, if you are not yet part of a ministry within the church, of a group within the church, can I encourage you to prayerfully consider to join one? We have a plethora of different groups and ministries within the church, and we are always crying out for more volunteers. And I want to deal with that word, a volunteer, because we use that a lot in church, and I know what we mean, and it makes sense, volunteers. But I want us to see it, because sometimes we restrict and we think, well, volunteer means I can just dip in and out. I can have a loose commitment as a volunteer. It's not a paid role, so I can just have a loose commitment as a volunteer. But I want us to replace, when we're in our mindset, let's replace this volunteer mentality with, we want to be a minister of reconciliation. We need a church that wants to be actively involved, not just as a volunteer, but actively involved in ministry. So the question that we need to start asking ourselves, what ministry are you a part of? Yeah, when we're out in the church lounge and having our teas and coffees, what ministry are you a part of? I believe that's the culture we need to have in the church. How's your ministry going? Well, what do you mean, how's my ministry going? I thought that was for Nathan and Ricky. No. How's your ministry going? Because we all have a ministry. What is ministry? It's not this big fancy word that's for those who go to college and study for 3 years and get a nice little theology degree. No. Ministry simply means servant. And aren't we all servants of Christ? That means all of us have a ministry. But I can't finish this today, but as I come to my text, the people of Israel who were busy doing ministry, rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem, Nehemiah was a formidable leader because he was able to rally the troops in Israel and inspire the people's hearts to get to work. The Bible doesn't even record for us and say that they were financially remunerated. They were just volunteering. They were serving in ministry. They saw it that, listen, this is something that needs to be done, and we need to get on board and help Nehemiah out. No pay, although the king supplied all of the resources and the materials, but each individual was not financially remunerated. But in chapter 5, although they were busy doing the work, the people came to Nehemiah, their leader, and said, Nehemiah, we need to have a little conversation. Yes, we're committed to serving. Yes, we're committed to doing the work. Yes, we're with you, Nehemiah. We want to see the walls of Jerusalem rebuilt. But to be honest, Nehemiah, there's some challenges going on in my own personal life. And sometimes, even for us, we want to do more for God in His church. We want to be actively involved. And as leaders, we have to be very, we have to understand that it's not just, oh, let's get everyone involved. And yes, we want everyone to be involved. But sometimes we have to be really understanding that sometimes people will have legitimate reasons why they can't get involved as much as they would like to. And the people listed their concerns. They said, we want to help. We want to continue the work, but we are being ripped off by our own fellow Israelites. We're being taken advantage of. Life is really lifing right now. Life is hard, Nehemiah. We want to help. We want to serve. We want to be actively involved. But life is getting in the way. And that's my second point in your sermon notes. Sometimes life gets in the way. And our problems take us away from being actively involved in ministry. So they listed their complaints to Nehemiah. And they said, we're struggling. We're trying to feed our families. Yes, we want to continue to rebuild the walls, but our loved ones are struggling. Nehemiah, can you help us? We want to help you. We want to help the whole town. But we have some personal struggles. And I want to lovingly encourage anyone here today. You may feel like that, even today. You may have some personal struggles. You may have some issues going on in your life right now that's preventing you from being actively involved in a ministry. And I want to encourage you, God understands. He's not going to discard you from the team because he knows exactly what you are going through. And like Nehemiah, I love the fact that the people felt comfortable to go to him, which meant that he was an approachable leader. And that's a good lesson for all of us who serve as leaders of groups, leaders in the church. Are we approachable? Are people comfortable enough to come to us and share their burdens, share their concerns, share their worries? We've got to be careful that we don't become so aloof. Look at me, I'm the leader. I'm in charge of this department. I've been running this for 50 years, and I know exactly what I'm doing. We've got to be in touch with the people. We've got to be approachable. Remember, we're ministers of reconciliation. The hope that we have through Christ, we don't keep it for ourselves, but we say, just as we have been reconciled to Christ, whatever you're going through, brother or sister, you too can be reconciled to Christ. Amen? So sometimes life does get in the way. Sometimes circumstances can impact us beyond our control. But God understands. He does not expect us to be superhuman. But like the Israelites, I pray that we too can go and share our concerns, not just with God, but also with trusted individuals. We can share our burdens. And just like Nehemiah, maybe there's others who can help. Nehemiah was able to provide relief and support to the people. He challenged the status quo. He challenged the people to say, stop what you're doing. Stop treating the people so harshly. And God was able to intervene through Nehemiah and bring change in Israel. But finally, this morning, I'm just going to leave with you the final point, the resolution and the celebration. Although life can get in the way, not just in terms of ministry, but in all of our dreams and goals that we want to achieve in life, but finally we see through this text that we need to remember that we have a great Father who is a great provider. Oh, we have a great Father who is a great provider. Now remember, I read that the people were in a famine, poverty all over the place. But when God intervened through Nehemiah to send relief to the people, in verse 17 to 18 it says, furthermore, 150 Jews and officials ate at my table, as well as those who came to us from the surrounding nations. So not only did God provide relief and resources and food for the people of Israel, but also for surrounding regions. He will not just give you the supply, but he'll give you more than what you even asked for. So surrounding regions were able to be provided for because God is a great provider. As I was thinking about this Father's Day, thinking about my own father, and thinking about the lessons that he taught me, I was thinking back to how I struggled in my childhood years with his commitment to the church that I felt at the time that was getting in the way with his commitment to me. I remember as a child growing up and wanting him to be on the sidelines watching me play football. All the other dads, mums were there watching the others. And Nathan, me, myself, and I. And I always felt, you know, why ain't my dad here? Dad's at church. He was so committed and committed to this day to the church. There's no way you're going to get him to be anywhere else on a Sunday or Wednesday for Bible study than church. And I remember I was going on from year 11, and it was the leavers due at school. And we were graduating from year 11, and I never shall forget, as we were going there, and my mum was saying to me, make sure you're there, David, make sure you're there, make sure you're there. And it just so happened that the graduation was taking place at the same time as a church meeting. And my dad had to be there. And my dad, I could hear, but I've got to be at church. I've got responsibility. No, but you have to be there. I have to be there. And I remember when my dad showed up and he was there. And that meant so much to me that he took the time out to come and be with his son. It taught me so much because as I was thinking about my own journey, and by the grace of God, in a few months, I will be a father. Thank God. I was talking to someone yesterday and said to me, you won't understand the weight and the cost of all it takes till you hold the baby in your arms for the very first time. The commitment, the cost, that now you are going to have to be a provider for the child. Can't just say, well, I'll have a few days off, send it back to the sender. But now you are responsible. Commitment. Because commitment costs something. Come on, there are parents all across this house today. You know exactly what I'm talking about. Commitment costs. There are times when they drive you up the wall. But your commitment to them is unwavering. And I love this because although we are called to be committed to our children, those of you who are, you know, nephews, nieces, and those that you mentor, we're called to be committed. But really, it's a wonderful, wonderful illustration of God's commitment to us as our Heavenly Father. Yes, life gets in the way at times. And yes, the troubles and the concerns of life do cause us to feel down. But each and every day, I believe God reminds us that we are loved, we are cherished, and through his provision, he reminds us day by day that he is a great provider for his children. And in closing, that lets us know that he provides for us, but he provides for our needs and not our wants. And as a church family, the Jews here in Nehemiah, they were rebuilding the walls, the physical walls of Jerusalem. But for us, we've been doing a lot of work rebuilding some of the aspects of the sanctuary, haven't we? We've been modernizing and getting the building prepared for ministry to come for future generations. You see, ministry is bigger than ourselves. If the Lord should delay his return another 20, 30, 40, 50 years, some of us won't be here. There may be another minister here. There may be a new office manager, a new youth pastor. But the work that we do now for Jesus, the generations to come, years down the line, they will be able to bear the fruit of the labor and of the toil that we invest in today. Ministry is bigger than ourselves. So the challenge is, church, are we prepared to be all in? Are we prepared to be committed until the end? Are we prepared to see that ministry is bigger than ourselves, bigger than our wants, bigger than the colors that we like, bigger than our own desires, but we're serving the purpose of Jesus because our message is one of reconciliation. Amen? So I'm going to pray now, but I want to lovingly encourage anyone here today, if you are not yet actively involved in a ministry, yes, life can get in the way, and we understand. But can I encourage you, if you're not yet involved in a ministry and you want to get involved in one, maybe there's an area that you'd like to serve in, but we just don't have an area for that available at the moment, come and talk to us. We can make one available. Yeah. If it works and the Lord is willing it to happen, we can make one available. But I want everyone lovingly to be a part of a ministry, be a part of service, because we have work to do for Jesus. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word. And Lord, people in Nehemiah 5 were struggling with their daily needs and struggling with poverty. But we thank you that they were still committed. They still wanted to be actively at work to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. And we pray that that same commitment would be found in each and every one of us, because there's so much work to be done in this generation. Lord, there are so many needs all around us. We live in a very, very dire and challenging world. But you have called us and raised us up to be ministers of reconciliation, to be hope bearers, to be light bearers in this world. And we pray that you would just impress upon each and every one of our hearts that, Father, we would prioritize you, prioritize your church, that we'll be committed, Lord, to be actively involved, to see your kingdom come and your will be done. We pray for this town. We thank you that you've positioned us to make a difference in this town. And we pray, oh God, that you would just continue to impress upon our hearts that if there's something that you want us to do, that we'll be willing to say yes, that we'll be willing to put our hands to the plow, that we'll be willing to be all in for Jesus Christ. We thank you so much that for over 160 years nearly, this church has been in operation. And for generations gone by, for those who have served in the past, that for those deacons and members of the congregation and ministers gone by, Lord, who have served you faithfully. That's why we can be here today. But we pray too that as we prepare, Lord, for future generations, that Father, we too will be great builders for you. So that, Lord, the gospel can continue to go forth from generation to generation. We give you thanks for all that you're doing. And we thank you that you are a great provider. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. The worship team are coming back as we prepare to close the service out.
I did get a message, I have to confess, just before the service was going to start that said Damilola had made some cake and brought Charles had brought it in for the dads, so there is some cake out there. But, there's a lot going on up here, so I do every now and again forget something if it's right before the service, so I apologise for that. Our last song calls upon the Father of creation to let your glory fall in this room. So let's stand and sing together, Father of creation.
Amen. Just to remind the church, in 2 weeks from now, two Sundays from now, I believe the 27th, is that? The 29th, thank you. The 29th, 2 weeks from now, will be our giving day at the church. The whole day is going to be tailored around giving. And this is in aid of supporting financially some of the work that's been going on in and around the church. There's been a lot of work and a lot of expense going on around the church. So please prepare for that. There's been notices going out about that. So just again to remind the church, on the 29th, there's going to be our giving day here at the church. So we're going to pull in together as one family, aren't we? Amen. And we're going to get the job done like Nehemiah. Amen. So please prepare for that giving day. Before we go, please take your seats. We're closing now, but we just have one testimony. Charles has been on my case for weeks. He's been wanting to share a testimony, and I forgot last week. So please, if you just give a couple minutes for Charles. He wants to share a testimony with us today.
Praise the Lord, church. It's an honor to stand here to pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of this beautiful family of Jesus Christ. Before I go into paying my vows, I would like to read from the book of Psalm 116 from verse 12 to 14. Yeah. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits towards me? I will take up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of his people. Yeah, thank you. This is the verse that actually prompted me to come out today to pay my vows. I wasn't born in the UK. I migrated in 2023 on a skilled worker visa. And everything was going well until the beginning of the year. And I was made redundant at my workplace. And if you're made redundant, you're given some amount of days to actually leave the country and go back to your home country. And I've been on that. I've been so depressed, anxious, you know, not knowing what God would do. Just keep trusting in the Lord. And 3 Sundays ago, Pastor Nathan and his beautiful wife, they were here, and then they were talking about Jehovah Jireh. And yeah, it's like Pastor Nathan said, come out, Jehovah Jireh is in this place, and if you need something from God, come out, and he will visit you. And I came out in faith, and Bray, I just want to say I found grace through faith, and I can't even be proud about it because it is, I can't even boast about it because it's a gift from God to me. Not only did I get a work visa in a job role that I enjoy and that leverages my photography skills, but I got a job that my income was increased from what I used to earn before. And this happened in just a little amount of time. I just want to say God is in this place. God is in this place. If you believe it or you don't believe it, it's up to you, but God is in this place. Yeah. Yeah, thank you. And I also, sorry, before I leave you, I want to say thank you to some special people in the house who's been praying for me. I want to say thank you to Mr. Richard Seals. It's been a wonderful, I'll say, father figure to me. Most times he closed late from work, and instead of going home to his beautiful family, he meets me up on the high street and motivates me and pray with me. Thank you so much, sir. I want to say thank you to Auntie Kuda for your prayers. Thank you so much, Auntie. Thank you to Auntie Cresta. Thank you, Auntie, for your prayers. And before I leave, I want to say a big thank you to Auntie Christine Locke. I don't know if she's in the house, but thank you, Auntie, for your love, for your contributions, everything to me. I'm really grateful. Thank you to the Lord. Thank you.
Amen. Praise God. We thank God for that testimony, don't we? Thank you, Charles. Thank you for sharing that testimony. And I shared with the testimony evening last week. We've been having some powerful testimonies so far this year. So let me encourage you, if you've not yet been out to a testimony service evening, which is on second Sunday evenings of the month, please come out and join us for one of those testimony evenings, because we've had some amazing, amazing testimonies, both in those evening slots and also in the morning. So thank you for sharing your testimonies. Amen?
Amen.
Let's go to God in prayer, and please do join us for teas and coffees in the lounge. Oh yes, what that leads, I've got to say one more thing. We have been encouraging you recently to, once you get your teas and coffees, for some of you to come back here into the sanctuary to create more space in the lounge as we're growing in number. Please continue to do that, but just want to encourage the parents, especially of our youngsters, for those who are musicians. We've had quite a few complaints about the noise levels in here. You know, people are coming back in here. Sometimes people are still praying and so forth, and there's loud banging and music going on. We love that, and we don't want to discourage the children in any way. We love that they are enthusiastic about the instruments. But can I just lovingly ask if parents, young people, please refrain from using the instruments after the service on Sundays, because we just want to make sure that we decrease the noise levels so people can have a conversation and pray if they need to. Now, on Thursdays, the young people are free to come here and make as much noise as they want, okay? So Thursdays in the evening, they can come, but just please, after service on Sunday, please don't play the instruments so that there can be some people can at least have a conversation. Is that all right? Okay. But we love the young people and we love their enthusiasm. We do. We love them. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for this service today. And we thank you again for this Father's Day, for all of the men in the house. Thank you so much, Lord, for the privilege, Lord, of serving you and being a minister of reconciliation. And we pray as we leave this place, but never depart from your presence, that you will continue to impress upon our hearts in more and more ways in which we can get involved in serving you, not just as a volunteer, but serving you as a minister of reconciliation. Help us, Lord, to serve you, Lord, diligently and with everything that we have, because you deserve all the glory, the honor, and the praise. So as we leave this place, Lord, but we humbly ask, Lord, that as we meet again, if you should tarry, Lord, tonight or next week, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Amen. God bless you, church. 6:30 tonight, the street pastors are going to be leading us. So please join us at 6:30 tonight. Our street pastors will be leading the worship evening this evening. Bless you all.
Gonna be a warm one.
It definitely is.
I love you. All the way I adore you. Hey, I love you. Oh, whoops. Oh, well. I tried. I was just a bit slow.